Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to In and Out of Character, a role players podcast by me, Mr. Island. Hi, hello everybody. It's been a long time and I'm sorry for the wait. Life kind of got in the way for a little while, had some problems with other people and things, and I will talk about all that in the future at some point, but right now I just kind of want to get back into it. Today I am talking to Valanda, or I should say, in this interview, I'm talking to Valanda. Fun fact, this episode was supposed to come out well over a year ago, and to Valanda, I am extraordinarily sorry that it has taken this long. With that said, let's go ahead and get into the interview. I hope you guys enjoy, and if you do like it, please go follow her stuff. And if you'd like to come onto the podcast, feel free to come into Discord and just ask me. I am happy to have anybody and everybody on, because I just like talking about this awesome, weird little hobby. All right, enjoy, guys.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
No worries, no need to be sorry. Parent first.
Yeah, my baby, my beautiful baby five-year-old in the corner.
Aww.
He's playing Sonic Frontiers, and he's very excited to show me Sonic Frontiers.
We record with someone, and her kids are like 11 and 13. So at like 8 o'clock her time, they both come in and like say goodnight. So I've gotten to see them grow up. It's been really wild. Just through like saying hi, just waving at them, saying goodbye each night we record. It's so cute. So yeah, we have parent and animal breaks when we record, because we're just like, we have to, like, life first.
Oh yeah. Life gets in the way of role-playing quite a lot. I shouldn't say that, but life takes, in the way of sounds like I'm like, oh God, I wish I didn't have responsibilities. I wish I could just role-play all day. But life, our role-playing definitely has to take a back seat when it comes to role-playing has to take a back seat when it comes to life in general. Just because, I mean, as much as I would love to stay in these fantasy worlds, you just gotta go outside sometimes and just hang out or go for a hike or just spend some time with loved ones. And I've been wanting to do a documentary, or I shouldn't say a documentary, but like a short form video about the dangers of role playing, and you and like being addicted to role play is something that people don't realize that it can happen. Do you have any experience with that?
Yeah, like a fair bit, in kind of like a couple of different contexts too. Like when I first started like really getting into role playing, and like we were playing like some genuine campaigns, not just like one shots fucking around with friends and the one shot character state. Like when we were generally playing, it was like I ended up falling down that like hole of like carrying the character over with me between sessions. So I hit like a really bad point when I was like I was playing an assassin. Her whole thing was she was a sniper. And I started, like, I realized that I was just, like, in someone's office, and I was looking at escape plans, like, oh, there were, like, bars and windows, but I could get up behind me, and, like, he has, like, a fancy pen on his desk, and I could kill him with that. I'm like, oh, shit, goodness. I might need to back the fuck off. So, yeah, I was like, oh, I need to go figure out if anyone else is having these problems, you know, sort of back-ish in the day. And it was like, I thankfully found, like, the rules around, like, Nordic LARP and, like, reading about bleed in and bleed out and, like, different veils and lines and stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not the only one. So now I feel slightly better and began to, like, pull back a little bit on that. But it is, for me, I always get, like, the post-game blues where, like, you had a good session and it's like, I want to get back to it. And I feel a bit sad, or I carry over emotions from, like, the last scene, because I tend to GM quite a lot. And it's like, yeah, I tend to carry that around with me. And it's remembering, like, hey, yo, you're not stuck in a fantasy environment. You're not fighting for your life. You can be chill.
You can be chill.
Everything could be okay.
Yeah, and on another side of that as well, I remember I used to, I like to roleplay in MMOs a lot, and like World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy, Elder Scrolls Online, and I find MMO roleplay just to be where, you know, I as a roleplayer like to sit.
Yeah.
And it can, because it's so easy to find roleplay in an MMO, you can get to it almost at like a moment's notice. Just log in, go to one of the places where everyone's congregating at, and just jump into character and start, you know, working with other players and so on and so forth. And it got to the point where I would come home and roleplay, and then go to sleep, and then wake up, work, roleplay, sleep, repeat that process over and over and over again. And I would just never have, like, I would just never do anything for my real life.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a dangerous kind of like level, I guess, is how easily accessible, like, yeah, like role playing through like MMOs or World of Warcraft or whatever, or play by posts when people are like active constantly.
Yeah.
I had a play by post. It was actually my first role playing experience was play by post on a forum, and we spent Christmas on the computer just role playing backwards and forwards, and I barely saw my family. I'm like, this can't be right.
Yeah, that, and it gets worse, like, it gets so much better, it gets so much worse when it's, like, you're ignoring important, like, events or holidays, even, just to roleplay a little bit longer.
Just that little extra 20-minute, like, type-up on this, or this,
I know.
Like, just finish this little scene off, at least with, like, tabletops, where you require other people to be either online with you, or at least occupying the same space-time of some sort of way. You at least can't access it 24-7, so it's probably good for my sanity that I don't have that I don't have instant access to stuff.
You know, on the same, like, kind of, like, at the opposite side of addicted to role playing and so on, I gotta be honest, like forum role play and even Discord, like when you role play in Discord and stuff like that, I am horrible at it. I really can't like, because I'm a part of a few different role play servers, and one like people are asking me to role play with them, and one of the servers are even like to DM like through the DMs, and I'm just like, if I do that, you're not going to hear from me ever, because I get so sidetracked with just everything in my life that I will never respond to you. I'm already so bad at messaging people back. I think it took me about, hold on, actually, that's a good point, because, like, didn't it take me, like, 2 weeks to get a hold of you? Or to get toward you? I'm so sorry about that, by the way.
No. It's not a worry. Like, I was doing like marketing stuff, and I found you, and I don't remember how. I'm like, all right, I'll fill this in. This seems pretty good. But that's like a bunch of like 200 other people I've probably reached out to over the last 3 weeks. So as I'm getting people coming in, I'm like, oh, cool, that's nice. When did I email them? Oh, okay. Well, you know, life happens.
Yeah, I sometimes like I've been. When I first started doing this thing, I just pulled up, I remember pulling up just a list, or making a list of well-known role players out in the wilds, like Brendan Lee Mulligan and Tom Carty and like all these different people, Joe Cat. And I sent out emails to like a whole bunch of different people. And every now and again, I'll get an email back from their team. And I'm like, when did I send an email to you? Hold on, who are you?
I have similar feelings when I used to like do like job hunting. You'd have to send like 20 emails out, like, hey, here's my resume, this is a thing. And one time I got a response back from a company who wanted to take me for an interview, but they didn't say what the job position was, and I couldn't, like, their company name wasn't coming up in a proper Google search. So I went to the interview and I had no idea what I was interviewing for. I just had to like bullshit my way through it. But yeah, it was just like, sometimes it happens like that, like, especially if like there's not a whole bunch of context in like return emails. I'm like, I have no idea what this is.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, what is your tabletop, not your tabletop, what is your role playing like life right now? Like, what you doing?
So right now, role playing wise, we have a home game, which is we play online. So we use Discord, because most of the players are based here in Reykjavik, and my husband and I are based on a tiny island a bit further away from them. So we do that. And 1 week we do Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm a player there. And the other week we do Call of Cthulhu, where I'm also a player. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I also basically run 4 stories online, which are all like recorded for actual play release. So we have The Lucky Die, and that's like, there's like a main campaign that I'm running, and that looks like recording at 11 o'clock at night until like 2 in the morning, because we have players in America, and I think we have one in your time zone too. So it's like a big gap of time. So we record that kind of like as and when we can, because everybody's lives have changed over the last 7 years, and we're so almost there. In addition to that story, there is a side story happening in the same world at the same time. So there's lots of timeline shenanigans that I have to pay attention to. And that's called Kino, and that's half Europeans, half Americans. So again, we have time zone issues. And then I'm also the keeper for our kind of our newer actual play called The Sprouting, and it's Call of Cthulhu, another homebrew apocalyptic world, because I have a theme. And also and that looks like us recording every Monday and every Tuesday night, and we record between 2 and 3 episodes each time. And that's a whole keeper thing. We've been doing this for the last like 3 months, pretty much every single week, give or take 1 or 2 recordings. And that's intense and a lot. And there's a side game that also goes with that, which probably won't be released for a really long time. And that's more of a modern day-ish kind of Call of Cthulhu game. And that's just European. So the recording time on that is so much nicer.
I bet it is. That's the hardest thing about tabletop role playing, is just getting everybody to into the same chat room or whatever.
Yep. It's a mission. It's the biggest lie of anyone who releases actual play content on an actual schedule, is that we record on an actual schedule. It's rough.
I was just talking to another person today, Heather from Nameless Monsters. This is gonna date, for anybody listening, this is gonna date me a little bit. But Heather from the Nameless Monster podcast, she was talking about editing and scheduling and stuff like that, because she does the main editing for her podcast as well. And we went on a long tangent. Not that I want to make people listen to that again, but we went on a long tangent.
Go listen to it.
Yeah, we went on a very long tangent just about structure and podcasting, and sometimes the woes of editing and podcasting. And again, getting people together to do an actual play podcast is a nightmare.
Yeah, it's difficult, and I think especially if it's difficult enough if you're all in like the same time zone. If everybody is based in New York, but nobody can physically meet up, like meeting up still a bit of an issue because life happens, and you're asking for like between like, you know, 4 and like 6 hours, depending on what kind of game you run. And for us, like, we have the added issue of the fact that not only are we not all in the same geographical location, we aren't even in the same time zones, and we don't even have the same native languages. We have a person based out of Germany, and it's German, so it speaks German as a native language, and also learn English. My partner is Icelandic, and he speaks Icelandic as a native language and also speaks English. I'm British, but we also have an American, and I will argue American and British are different languages. We are just very close.
No, I get it. I'm from New Orleans, down here where I live.
Yeah.
And we have a Creole tongue to the way we speak. If you get down to the bayou enough, we have a whole different way of speaking.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult sometimes, because I had to really try to fix the way I speak when I'm talking, especially if I wanted to do a podcast. Because sometimes I'd get so fast where people couldn't understand me.
Yeah.
So my friends really had to help me chill the hell out when it comes to speaking.
Yeah, I have the same, because I tended to naturally speak very, very fast. And I have what we would consider like a standard British accent. I'm quite southern, but when I get really excited, or if I get minorly tipsy, I tend to revert to my natural kind of Cockney accent. And doing that at speed with people who whose second language is English, let alone possibly third language in some places, it's really difficult. So I had to learn to slow down and enunciate better. So it's like, I can't record when I have a bit of a headache, because I just slur words and I am not understandable for people who are already maybe slow down a little bit on the English. I need to figure out what's going on. Like, granted, they are incredible. The two non-native English speakers are like really good at picking up what I'm trying to put down and grab context clues, but occasionally they'll throw something at me and we'll mock each other for our terrible language skills. It's pretty fun.
That's always fun. So your podcasts, so what I am understanding is that you have a series of podcasts that you work on. I noticed that when you contacted me, using Blighthouse Studios. So I looked into Blighthouse Studios, and I can't remember. Where is that page? Hold on. I closed it. I shouldn't have closed it. Hold on.
No, don't look at it. It's an embarrassment. I'm going to throw my body in front of them, our big podcast page.
I'm looking at the Blighthouse Studios page right now. So yeah, I saw that you had a whole bunch of different podcasts up under your belt. So when did you yourself decide that you wanted to get not like to not only t- like when did you want to take your role play lifestyle and take it further into the realm of creation?
Back when I was having issues like separating like characters, when I was just doing home games back in the UK, I wanted to roleplay more because my home group, before we got a little bit more serious about how we play stuff, were very much like monster of the week. Nobody really cares. If a character dies, literally nobody cared at all. And I wanted a bit more of an emotional impact, I guess, on gaming. So I went to Reddit. I found someone who was looking for a voice actor for a role-playing game. I'm like, well, I can pretend to be Scottish. There's a shitty accent I can pull out and give a go. And I met some incredible people on that project. The project fell apart, but I basically took two of the four that were there and that also wanted to just keep role-playing together because we had a lot of fun. And I lied and said I had a game. And we put together a role-playing podcast, and we grabbed another friend of theirs. Everyone else was American. I was only Brit. And that was about 7 years ago, probably. And dang. We recorded, like, it's still the lucky die. The campaign hasn't ended. I've tried so many years to get this thing finished, but alas.
Just make rocks fall on everybody and they die.
I tried that. I have a monk who just dodges everything. I'm so mad. we did that, like, we started that like 7 years ago. We added another player about a year and a half after that, and he permanently joined us 2 years after we started, so he became a core member. And probably about 3 years ago, myself, two of the actors, one of them is a editor as well, so he also does the music and stuff, and we have another friend who voice acted stuff and had been a guest player with us and like is probably one of my best people in this entire world. And they created and wrote Counterbalance and were struggling to get it going again. And I was like, hey guys, I have umption and drive, and why don't we just put all of our stuff together and we'll see what we can make of it. And that's how Lighthouse Studio started. So the four of us, just through our various different skill sets, are like, if we start new projects, let's not start from nothing and let's just throw it all in. We'll go all in and see what happens. And I'm that's kind of where the sprouting came out from, because we wanted to play more together, the four of us who weren't like actively involved in the Lucky Die. And yeah, that idea started 2.5 years ago, and it took me a year and a half to even sit down and be like, all right guys, I think I'm ready to go now. I think I'm good.
I get that, because so like I'm working on like a few various things, right? And I don't think, like, when people sit down to work on their projects, I don't think that one of the biggest things that I think people don't understand is exactly how long these things are going to take when you start working on them. I am working on there is, in the World of Warcraft role-playing sphere, there was a fan-made sport made by one of the players for one of the races in World of Warcraft, because at the time there just was no lore for that particular race. There wasn't a lot of it anyways. And so they made a sport, and Blizzard took that sport and made it canon and actually gave it a quest in the game and stuff like that. And it was very popular in the role-play community, so I'm working on a documentary for that sport. Like, I wanted to tell people about this. I wanted to get it out there more. And I wanted to showcase a piece of roleplay history that happened in this game. And the project I started in 2023, reached out to the creator and started the project officially in about October or November. And I won't be done with this thing until April.
Yeah, like it is that like surprise, like time drain on how to make a project. Because it's also like, I think a lot of folks think like, yeah, I'm going to put a project together, I will sit down, I'll record, I'll edit, and it goes out the door. And it's like, that's so like, that's a very like simplistic small idea part on how it goes together. Yeah, because like, for example, reaching out and talking to people, I've probably spent like in excess of like hours and days is not an exaggeration on finding people, emailing them, asking them if they want to be in the show, reaching out to people like, hey, could we do ad swaps or content drops? Or like, hey, you look like you want to role play. You want to interview role play makers? Hi, how are you doing? And all the time that comes with crafting those emails backwards and forwards, doing any sort of quality control on your work, not just record it and shove it out the door, because it takes effort to do that. If you know anything about like mixing and mastering and making things sound good, making sure that it sounds good and that everybody has their own like clear levels and clear tracks, and if you add music and ambience and sound effects, that's not work that comes out of nowhere. It's like, was it like when I used to do audiobooks, 1 hour of finished content is something like 5 hours of work behind the scenes just for me recording and editing it.
Right,
so yeah, and that's 5 hours I need to be paid for. I need to be aware that if a book is a 12-hour read, I'm spending nearly 2 weeks working on that. And it's very similar in like creating like podcasting or documentaries, especially when you have to write a script and figure out things and interview people and figure out how to put all of that like chaos together in something coherent and presentable. And then you have to upload it and make sure it's all within tech specs too. It's like, God fucking damn it.
I know. And like here, another, like one more aspect of it is you're also learned, like if you don't come from a background that already has these things, like has you developing these skills, you're learning these skills as you do it. And learning also takes like an amount of time in and of itself. Like, of course, I could just start editing in a tool using Audacity, right?
Yeah.
But if I wanted to learn and like actually take the time to understand every little tiny facet of Audacity, I need to stop and go look at it and experiment and read and watch videos and all sorts of other things just to get a good grasp of the tool.
Yeah, like we were very lucky that in the project that kind of fell apart that I met up with the folks on Reddit, one of the guys was already like a music major and he loved creating music and he'd already been part of a band, but he moved back to settle down with family. And he took it upon himself to learn how to edit, and he figured out which different programs he would need to use. And over time, he and I developed a system where we quality control the episodes. He'll send it to me, I'll send feedback. We figured out what kind of feedback actually is useful and what isn't. And then he would like go through and like, okay, people need different microphones. He'd go through and do those. He'd put music in and figure out everybody's balancing. And then he's like, oh, we need to get this kind of equipment to make you sound better. Please go ahead and do those. And then like, he has grown so much over the last 7-8 years. Oh my God, 8 years at this point. And I'm like, I'm so unbelievably blown away by his talent and how good he's become. Like he was pretty good when we started, but I think he was just starting out with some basic tools. And that is all you need to do to get started, is to figure out the basic tools. But if you want to take it to another level, it's so much more time. It's like, yeah, to master a skill is like 40,000 hours or some stupid number. Everybody else in the chat about it takes time to do that, and you have to allow yourself time to do that.
One of the things I had to hold on, am I about to go off on a tangent here?
Tangent alert.
So one of the things I'm doing is because I've always been interested in it, and the projects are another reason for me to learn and to grow and to do things, is music, right?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to work in music myself, but I never knew how to. So in order to make these projects better than what they are, I'm having to go out and learn a whole new skill. And yes, I'm very interested in the skill, but again, if you want to do these things, you're going to find yourself stopping to go increase your experience and a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyways, that's all to say that no matter what you do, the amount of time that you put into a project is going to be exponentially higher than what you think it's going to be.
Yeah, 100%. It's so much work. It's... and then if like you try to take it like to another level, like you're thinking like maybe I could make this like at least partially financially viable without me having to spend like thousands of dollars to get everything in place and all this good jazz, there's so much like hidden work that has to go into that. Is like figuring out, okay, like I'm basing in another country, how does tax work if I want to do Patreon? Like, how does that, what forms do I have to fill in? And for me, like, this may be very, very unique and very, very snowflake. I'm not natively Icelandic. I moved here. So I have to figure out which tax laws apply and when and how does that work. And I can't even read it to check it out. It's all in Icelandic. There's no way I'm understanding this. Mm-hmm. And then it's like setting everything up. Like, do you do a business? Do you not do a business? Is it under a certain tax threshold? Does this work? Okay, now I have to get all the social media assets together. And now I have to figure out what kind of schedule we do for releases on Patreon. And how does that make things extra cool and nice? And what things are appropriate? And what research needs to go into? Well, research that goes into figuring out, okay, well, what works best on Patreon and what doesn't? What am I willing to do, like, creatively? And what am I willing to compromise creatively to have all these things work so we can be financially viable? And then, oh yeah, we want to do some merch. Oh my god, like, okay, where do I start from scratch on merch? Like, where do I even get assets for that? How does that work? And then, oh, a website. Yeah, I had a basic website that I didn't build, and then the website breaks and someone has to make and fix a new website, and that's all work and time that has to be put in there. And IMDb credits, for example, like, how do I do those? How do I add my show, which is a podcast, which wasn't supported back in the day? You had to be a TV show. How does all that work? And that all takes so much time that you have to put in, and it feels like lost time, but it's also essential time. And it's just, yeah, like, I probably spent, like, when we decided to do this kind of properly, or at least I decided I'd take the gumption to do this properly, I probably spent untold amount of weeks just getting everything up to scratch that will never see us increase revenue, may not see us increase any sort of download numbers or anything like that, but it's all work that needs to be done to be able to be taken professional or taken seriously by professional companies.
Right, and like, there's also, like, another thing about that is, again, that it may not, it may increase your revenue, it may increase your view count or whatever, but social media is a whole nother beast that you have to tackle that is also going to take time. Like, no matter what, like, people, like, when they get into this and they want to do it professionally, they get into this thing and then they realize, oh my god, like, this, like, there is so much more you have to do that is sort of behind the scenes.
Yep. And that sort of stuff that you can't easily, like, write down numbers on how long you spent doing this and what the return on that will be. Like, if we were professionals in this area, I'm sure someone who professionally makes websites would be able to crack this website out in, like, an hour or two, or someone who's proficient with social media about to, like, do, like, 40 posts and schedule them up and walk away and do that in a day and a half or some shite. And I'm learning how all of this works. I'm learning how to put it all together. So it's just, like, it's so much slower. It's very inefficient. And if we had big backing, this would be very fast, but we don't. So we have to figure out those kind of, like, all right, what social media plans work? Wait, I'm supposed to have a social media plan?
Like, I handle all my social media myself. Like, I don't have anybody to help me. I do everything myself. I have nobody is helping me with the person who was going to help me with music for the one part decided that they needed to not work on any more projects, so they dropped all their projects, and now it's just me again, which is fine. I will learn and make the music and yeah, all will be good. Homie, I just forgot what I said. I literally just completely forgot what I said.
We're chatting about the perils of social media, and doing everything as, like, a one-man band is rough. I have nothing but respect for folks who can do that. Like, I realized a long time ago I cannot edit. I can't go through and take those silences out. And I know that our editor has a really good, like, automated thing that just cracks it out in, like, 20 minutes. And then he's like, yep, I can now start moving stuff around. Like, I can't even cope with that. Like, it's so boring for me to do that editing. And I have nothing but respect for those who do.
Yeah,
like, holy shit.
in older episodes, just to say, I've been saying that it takes me about 3 hours to edit this podcast, and it used to take me 3 hours to edit this podcast. It really did. It's now down to about 2 hours. I can edit this out, and that's because I will go through, I will listen to the whole thing, I'll make notes about certain things, and while I'm cutting out a lot of the ums and the ahs, some of them still get through. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, and anyways, I'm we're ranting about podcasting again. I'm super sorry, everybody listening.
Wait, are we not supposed to be ranting about podcasting? What are we supposed to be ranting about?
I don't know. Anyway, so I know where you're at right now in your role-playing life, which is just a whole bunch of different projects and
yeah.
a whole bunch of other things. Excuse me. I know that you started in, you said forum roleplay. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was like,
is that
14?
Right?
Yeah.
So where did you, how did you get into like tabletops as a word? You didn't tell me that, did you?
No. So yeah, like started like play by post when I was like 14, 15. And then the guy who ran the forum just shut it down. He's like, nah, fuck this, I'm out of here. And we were like, boo, the worst, boo. But we understood he was going to college. Like, okay, fair. And then I didn't do any sort of role playing for like a couple of years. And then a friend of mine came back from university and she was like, hey, y'all want to play Dungeons and Dragons? Nerds. And we were like, okay. And then I did not stop playing since then. So I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons or Call of Cthulhu or the White Wolf systems or anything 40K. Ooh, or
I love the White Wolf systems. Oh.
It's pretty nice, right?
I don't know what it is about filling in pips on a chart, but yeah. I love filling in pips on a chart. I made a system for my guild in Elder Scrolls Online because it's a role-playing guild.
Yeah,
and it's nothing but pips, right? It's such a confusing piece of... It is a horrible system that I am currently in the process of tearing apart with one of my friends in the guild. And we're going to rework it to simplify it because it's too crunchy for people, and I get that. But boy, do I love putting pips on a sheet of paper. I don't know
why.
Tests? I didn't take tests because I wanted to be smart. I took them because I wanted to fill in the little circle.
Why can't I fill out all of them?
Fill in circles.
Yeah, I enjoy like those kind of like things, and we played a lot of home games like that, and then I did a lot of like Twitch streams, mm-hmm. Because it was related to the person that the first failure of a podcast we were involved in was doing, and I played a lot of systems with them, and then I switched to playing with another friend of mine, Skagath, and he makes his own systems. So I very quickly learned that, oh, it's not always the systems that I like, it's the role-playing I fucking love. I've done lots of like homebrew systems. I wrote a system called Spiced with my friend Andy, and we developed that over the course of like 2 years, and I actually had it laid out in like had a program that allowed me to create like layouts and formats so that we could put it in a proper book with like pictures and like tables and stuff, and it was super nerdy. And me and my friend Andy, we went on convention tours, so we went to different conventions and we played the game with people, and they're like, here, have a basic copy of this, like here's a basic version, here's a more in-depth version. And we did that for ages, and then I left the UK, so we closed that down because that was like too much to try and handle with like the distance between us. So yeah, it's my role-playing world has been a little wild. lots of online things, doing I've done Blades in the Dark and City of Mist online with a few folks. And once our former project fell apart, we did The Lucky Die, and we had that going that for a while. And then I also do voice acting on the side of the many other weird random audio stuff that I do. And I did an audition for something that I saw on Twitter, and they were like, hey, do you want to audition for this thing? And I did it, and they were like, can you do it in an American accent? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll totally do that. And they were like, please don't do that. So I stayed British. And then that show kicked off, The White Vault, and they did the creator knew I played Dungeons and Dragons because he and I had spoken a bit, and he put us together with some of the other cast members from The White Vault in Dark Dice. And lo and behold, I met my partner, who's Icelandic, and he then came to join The Lucky Die. And Dark Dice is such a wild game in comparison to anything I have ever played in my life. It is like really weirdly Cthulhu-y horror, but still using Dungeons and Dragons. And like Travis replaces all of like the audio. Everyone NPC has a proper voice. Anytime I sing, because I'm a bard, I get music put to it, and it's super fun. Also because I'm the bard, I have a lot of history, so I re-record a lot of Travis's dialogue dump so that it sounds like it flows more naturally. And it's so wild. It's so vastly different from what I do, which is I record the thing, I prep everything, the editor goes ham, he and I talk about how we make it better, the editor makes it better, and then we release it. And it's like, it's such a different level of editing style, but they're both like so weirdly unique. And I'm finding the same with the sprouting as well. It's just everything I've played online or anything I've released or been part of role-playing online, I've very much figured out that the table matters, the people at the table, and the intent of how you intend to either release or edit really also affects how like you would play, because playing at home versus playing for and playing as a GM for my own podcast or playing as a player on other people's actual plays, it's vastly different. I have to be slightly more aware because the audience only get to see the world that I interact with, or me or the other players interact with. So if there is something marked plot, when you're at home, you can ignore it because it's super funny just to wind your friend up and cool, that's a great thing. But when you're doing it for an audience, the other people and you at the table have to go through that door marked plot, or it has to be a bit. But yeah, like it's... there's people I've played with online that I've enjoyed the hell out of playing with, most of which are at my table and are on various podcasts that I run, or they can be difficult and you still have to find a way around that. And yeah, it's been a wild journey, mate.
I bet. Have you tried any other forms of roleplay besides tabletop, like cosplaying? Have you done theater or anything like that?
Yeah, I did theatre from like 14 or 15, and I did like a lot of amateur dramatics. I did that for a long while. I was at part of the kids group at my local theatre, and I did the first show I was ever a part of. I was one of the lead actors, and I say actors because I ended up having to play a boy, and at the time I was very, very much not a boy. So it was like, okay, I can play this. This is fun, and it was good, and it was a good experience. And I did some like acting with the adult group as well, and then I transitioned to being behind the stage. I ended up doing a lot of technical stage management and helping to set up lights and set up sounds and make projections. And that's where I ended up staying most of the time, but I always missed like treading the boards with some of the other actors. And then I've done voice acting on various audio dramas. So I've done things like The White Fault and Counterbalance and Raising Hope and a bunch of other cool things I've been working on. And it's all in that same kind of weird actory world.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
I definitely consider all those things to be, and feel free to correct me if you do not agree, but I've always considered those things to be role-playing because it takes you out of yourself and puts you into a character. And that's ultimately what role-playing is all about, is to jump into the shoes of somebody that is into a situation that is not you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I very much prefer not being me normal day to day. I much prefer jumping in the skin of a dwarven bard who plays a lute and maybe slightly alcoholic and has some like deep dark desires. Yeah, I'll go ahead and play that. That's way more fun than having to go to work and design something for a living. I'm like, oh god.
Do you know that meme of the guy in the it has to do with like a cosmic setting, and it's like a silhouette of a person, and there's like all these stars and galaxies, and as the meme gets, and there's like a list of things, and as it progresses through this list, the meme gets like more profound and everything. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I know which one you're right about. It has like a couple of panels, and it has like different like descriptions next to it. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know why I thought about this, but it's like when you're playing, when you're role playing a character, because you don't want to be you. And then, like, at the very bottom, it was like when you're role-playing a character because they're blessed to have you in them. They're blessed, or something like that. Having you in them sounds horrible, and I shouldn't have uttered those words, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
They're privileged to be conceived by you.
Yes, it's the... So I used to have like a really big thing. I'm like, I really hated min-maxing. It's like the worst thing ever. Go play, scrubs. I've learned to embrace the inner min-maxer and accept folks for when they really want to do that. Because the only way you can protect them if you love them is to look at the system and use the system to protect them. And if that means you have to fudge having more armor, then that's how you're going to do it. You don't have to roleplay like you have a bunch of extra armor and that's why you're doing it. But you can fudge the system to make it work for you. I'm like, all right, okay, I'm slowly on board with this, especially like the more systems I play and the more characters I end up playing. It's like, no, what's important is I keep my OC love child alive, because I love this strange woman who runs a bar in 1920s New Orleans Prohibition era kind of shite. Like, I love her. I don't want her to get hurt.
What I do a lot for my players on the terms of min-maxing is that I make certain skills for them, and people can call me an asshole for this or whatever, but I always adjust the skill threshold of whatever based off of what the player wants to do. Like, my friend, if my friend John wants to punch something and my friend Sarah wants to stealth, then I'm going to make it easier. Or I'm going to make it easier for them to do the things that they want to do as players. Yeah. And it just works out that way because they're doing the thing. They're having the fun. And that's all I care about. All I want is my players to have fun and for us to tell a story together. That's all I want.
Yeah, I just like let's be serious. We're pretending to be elves and dwarves at a table. There's only so much serious we can take ourselves. If someone wants to punch super hard or someone wants like the ability to fly, like, yeah, that may not be ability right now, but that's something that they can work towards. And like, hell with the rules. If they do something cool and like a god looks upon them and thinks, I will bestow you wings, fuck it, I will deal with that session. I will deal with the mechanics after I've gifted them wings. Like, I'll deal with it then. Because like, yeah, ultimately everyone wants to have fun. That's why we're at this table. And if we want to have a game where everybody's super sad, great, I'll make you super sad. Like, if that's the intent of the game, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, I'll kill off all of your favorites in a heartbeat. I'll do anything for a good story. I'll murder them dead. I'll do
that NPC
it.
You loved, fucking gone.
Gone. Gone. You built up a nice friendship with them. I'll stab them.
That friend where you always bought the potions from, that beautiful business you built from the ground up, I will set fire to their premises. Like, yeah. if that's the feeling of the game, go for it. But yeah, ultimately, like, everyone at your table should be having fun, and yeah, that includes you too, which we get to do by dropping plot surprises and yeah, like helping our friends be super cool, because yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to break from reality every now and then.
And something I was telling my last guest Heather, and something that sort of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, especially in like these projects, like if you want to make an actual play podcast, you got to understand people will pick up how your players interact with each other.
Yeah.
Like that is a super important detail, that if the players are just like monotoned speaking back and forth at each other and they're not actually talking to each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like a whole thing, and I was speaking to like my friend about this a little while ago, actually. Like, we were talking about the differences between home play and actual plays. Mm-hmm. And in actual plays, I always feel a little bit more weird if I want to, as a character, have like a one-on-one with another character, because I'm kind of taking time away from the whole table. And it could be anywhere, because the folks I roleplay with are really good. Anywhere between like 5 minutes and half an hour, just us two roleplaying at the table, but that takes away from the whole group. And in a home game, like, we're here together to tell a story. So I try to limit that a little bit and try and bring more people in. But as an actual play, we have the ability to do that. We have the ability to be a little bit selfish at the table, because everybody knows we're putting on a show. And what you really want, if you have players at the table, is to have them interact with each other. Because also, first of all, that is free content I do not have to prep for. Thank you, guys. Just go ahead, have fun. And little secret, remember that. Let people roleplay together. You don't have to prepare for like weeks on end. It's been amazing. As someone who's on an actual play, as a player, you need to be aware of the fact that nobody sees the world except through your eyes, because it's not like a TV show where like you can leave the camera lingering behind the main actors and see someone do something super sneaky and stealthy and awful. And you can't do that in an actual play. That sounds super weird. So you as a player are responsible for checking that plot pot, that plant pot that's singing. Don't just walk past it, interact with it, like give that information to everybody out in the world. And for the love of Christ, try and be active.
God, please be active. Oh my God.
It's not like at home when you play a home game, you always have like at least one person who's almost chronically on their phone and like, yeah, they're listening and doing whatever, but you cannot afford to do that in an actual play. People are relying on you to do it. So please get involved, write some goddamn notes. And if you are a wizard, if you have spells, be fucking prepared on your turn.
I can't tell you how many times I've been turned off of an actual play podcast because there's like one player who is quiet. They do not speak. And then, like, I'm listening to the story and stuff like that. And I'm, like, listening to, like, one or two players doing nothing. And then this other person will just pop up out of nowhere and do a thing. And I'm just like, who the fuck is that again? Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah, that can happen. And I think, like, especially, like, we've been going for, like, 7 years at this point on one story. And I swear we're almost finished. I swear I've scheduled something called the end of the world. It will happen one day. But like for over
we'll
like 7 years,
get to a new project.
Yeah, well, we already started one. Like that's how. Like I thought we were going to finish like 2 years ago, which is when I'm like, yeah, I have an idea for a new podcast. Yeah, we could maybe do that. And then like, yeah, sort of December last year, I was like, all right, we have to start on this new one. I can't hold off anymore. I have no good excuses. We're not recording as frequently on our main show. Screw it, let's go do it. But like, yeah, like for us, like after 7 years and like such long breaks between recording, because life and scheduling across like 10 time zones is impossible, especially when not everybody works Monday to Friday. Some people work the weekends, and that means I have to be up at 2 a.m. to start recording, and that is no time as a GM to try and start. I used to do it when I was self-employed. I am no longer self-employed. I do have a kind of 9-to-5-ish job, so it's kind of like, yeah, I can't get away with that anymore. And I'm like 36. I'm so tired. I can't break from my nap routine.
I'm about to turn 34. And with everything that I'm already doing, right, I still have to work. I work about 48. I work anywhere between 48 to 60 hours a week. Sometimes I get away with working like 40, like right at 40, because we don't have any work and I'll be able to go home early and go to sleep. But normally I'm working anywhere between 48 to 60 hours a week. I am definitely dedicated for 12 hours every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Wednesday is supposed to be a 6-hour shift, but is normally another 12-hour shift. And there is always the possibility of me having to work yet again another 12-hour shift. So, all of that, I still come home and I still do all this stuff. And I am always tired. And I mean always. And that is something else you're going to get to love. If anybody out there wants to do an, I'm not trying to say like everything is gloom and doom when it comes to an actual play podcast. It's a really fun experience, but you are going to get to the point where you are tired, literally all the time, because you're bending over backwards to make the stars fucking align.
Yep, just in scheduling alone.
No, like imagine every planet. Every star in the universe being one problem you have to fix and getting all of that lined up together. That is what it's like.
Yep, it is the the planets must align, and then I have to feel well. like, because I suffer with like migraines a lot, and occasionally I'm just like I'm sitting at my desk and I'm about to hit record. I'm like, I think I'm going to throw up. I'm not sure I can do this, because then also I start slurring because I can't like form coherent sentences. And I know the episode is going to sound shit, but we have been trying to get this recording together for like 5 goddamn months, and I still have to be up at 2 a.m. I have to make the sacrifice to do the thing. I'm just like, no, please, please. Yeah. I know someone literally booked a day off to do this. They're using their PTO for it. Someone had to get up at like 6 a.m. to start recording this. And we're always forever grateful when people have to do stupid hours, and you're the one that's sick. It's so bad. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
please.
And you're just part of it. Like, quite literally, there was. I remember, and I don't mean to get too detailed. Anybody listening, for those listening, I don't mean to get too in depth with this, but there was a day I woke up right, and I'm interviewing somebody who is not like he's working abroad. Over in China or Korea. It's one of those two. I couldn't remember exactly. So I have to get up super, super, super early to make this thing happen. And I felt sick to my stomach. But it took so long for us to get to a point of recording that I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna make it happen. Just gonna make it happen. And then while I felt sick, I still did it. I had to stop and go to the bathroom a couple of times, but I still got back to them, and I was like, okay, let's keep going. And if that sounds like something you're like, oh, that's easy, I can do that. Well, guess what? I lost that audio data wipe.
No.
And so I have to reach out to them yet again to do it over again. So
I'm so sorry. That is so rough.
You know, yeah. But again, not trying to be doom and gloom, but if you want to go into this starry-eyed and bushy-tailed, prepare yourself.
Yeah, pace yourself. And yes. I highly recommend do at least one recording session and put one episode together to see how long it takes to do all this stuff. And like the level of editing that we did when we first started, probably behind the scenes, you're probably about 5 hours to every hour that you hear. Whereas now, because like our editor takes so much more time over it, I take so much more time over the quality control as well. And we have other people who listen to it and also like, hey, this is a little bit too loud, or like this story sucks, and I have to get voice actors in to do stuff now, which I never used to do before. We're probably looking like 10 hours per hour. But you can put a microphone in the middle of the table and you can hit record and you can edit, you can release that. There are people who will want to listen to that. Like,
oh God, yeah.
Yeah, whatever level of editing you put into it and whatever level of audio fidelity that you end up having, people will listen to it. But to be frank, people aren't going to listen to a microphone in the middle of the table if everybody keeps rolling their dice at the microphone and if people talk over each other and the microphone isn't correct for your environment and it's really echoey, because bad sound quality turns people off very, very quickly. And if you're looking at download numbers and you're seeing you only get one or two, it can be really disheartening. It's rough.
Like, there are days where I get, like, 70 people listening to the podcast, and there are days I get, like, one.
Yeah.
Like, it can be heartbreaking, but I don't do this because I want people... I'm not doing this because I want to see a thing go up and up and up. I mean, sure, that's nice. I'm doing this because I love the role-playing community, and I love talking about role-play in all of its aspects. It's all weirdness.
Yeah,
you
could talk for hours on it.
I really could.
Yeah,
like, I know that we. It feels like we just started, but we're coming to an end here pretty soon.
on the non doom and gloom on how to keep yourself going on an actual an actual play. Think of your audience when you're playing. What may be funny to you visually is not doesn't translate to audio. And figure out what success means for you. Like, are you doing this podcast because you want to have a really good excuse to hang out with your friends? And like, recording is like a really good way of holding yourself to that. Great. Then don't look at the download numbers, for the love of Christ.
Oh God, yes, please.
But if you're doing it, like, if you're like metric for success, and we had this when we had our like mid-season break on the lucky die, like, what does success mean to you guys? And one of our players was like, I want to see someone role play my character, I want to see cosplay of my character. And I shit you not, like the end of last year, we not only had that character be cosplayed, but that character's wife was also cosplayed, and folks from across the world flew together and met, I think in Denmark, I think it was, and they had another person like do the photos, and they had like this kind of little mock wedding where one of them was a Zoltana, one of them was Zoltana's wife, Adette, and it was like, it was genuinely like the most like, holy crap, we've made it feeling. And like, you can make those sort of things happen. If like you want those big things to be your success metric, you have to put work into making it sound good and putting the work into social media and making sure that the right people hear it at the right time and that you're willing to do ad swaps. Like, it's all extra work to get to those success metrics. But know what your success is. Like, if your success is seeing like 50 people say, I love your show, great, then make that your goal. And download numbers will come if you keep at it. But don't enjoy it.
Yeah, that's, like, that's honestly something, like, another thing I don't think people realize is that you can, well, sure, you could go into this for a very long time and not see many results. When you stop, it's over. Like, that's the end of it. If you stop, there's no more. If you keep at it and keep at it and keep at it, yes, people, it's a greater chance of people listening to it and sharing it and making
exactly.
it happen.
Like, especially if you're willing to put in the work to, like, try and market a little bit. And there is an amazing article by Sean Howard of Fable and Folly, and he talks down, like, the different marketing strategies that you have. And that's when I went, I'm supposed to have a strategy. And he talks on, like, the difference between, like, yeah, like, a Facebook ad looks great because you can have, like, a couple of thousand people, like, for, like, $10, $20, $100, whatever it is. But the problem with that is they don't translate to listeners. So your best bet, and through all of his, like, he basically did a bunch of experiments with money and with not money. And he was like, the best thing to do is an ad swap with someone or a content drop, like play somebody else's episode on your show and have them do the same, vice versa, because your audience will be listening to an episode from someone else and they'll go over to them. And if you're smart, they will also air your episode and the people who listen to their show will come over to you and listen to your show. And that is the most cost-effective way because it doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. But those things are, they're difficult to put together. It's really rough and there's often quite a lot of resistance, especially with folks who don't know what that is. And some people expect a lot of money because their audience is so much bigger than yours. And some people don't care. They're like, sure, I'll drop an episode for you. Like, I don't mind. And there are a lot of nice people out there, like, especially in like the weird little niche that is the role-playing community and the actual players out there. Like, a lot of people are willing to do that because it's a new, weird, novel thing. And our podcasting niche is quite niche. It is quite small. And yeah, more people that you get to listen to stuff, like, the more that it branches out into mainstream.
Yeah, and this is a lot, like, I don't want to keep ranting because we have hit our hour mark. But if I could give one more piece of advice to anybody out there who wants to make an actual play podcast, that is, do not listen to the people who say, why would you do that? So many other people are already doing it. Not listen to that. No, fuck them. If you want to make something and you're serious about being passionate and making it happen, then do the thing. I was talking to Heather about this last week, and if I had looked out there and saw all these other role-playing podcasts, yeah, there are plenty of podcasts out there who talk to other role players, right? But yeah, I feel like the way I wanted to do it didn't line up with the ones everybody else was doing it, so I did it anyways. Like, sure, yeah, they are similar, but
it is very much like, yeah, like, I am the 900th D&D podcast and I have D&D in the name. By the way, don't do Dungeons and Dice. Like, we're done with that pun. Like, we're 900 like podcasts away from that line. Come up with a cool new thing about your group and your table. Have a cool name. It is like, yeah, like, every table is really different. In our side campaign for the Lucky Die, we have Kino, and I lost one player because they couldn't commit to two games. And the feeling at the table is so different because we have one person, like, down. We had another mm-hmm. person join as a guest, and the whole table dynamic changed again. Like, people will listen to what you're wanting to put out, and if you respect the listener as a producer or as a keeper or GM, or as a player, if you respect your listener and bear them in mind while you're playing, you're going to make that experience more enjoyable for your listener. And they're more likely to hang around. And if you are very rules light and don't give a crap, mostly me, because I forget the rules and I'm very bad at it, there are people who want to listen to that. If you are very number crunchy heavy and, like, Pathfinder is your best friend, cool. There are people who want to listen to that. Everything is out there. If you want to be very highly edited and turn it into an audio drama instead, I can tell you that there are definitely shows out there who are way bigger than mine. I don't enjoy them personally, but there are lots of people who do. And yeah, do your thing. Do it. The worst that you'll do is you'll stop making episodes. It's okay.
Yeah. Like literally, though. And that doesn't mean that you can't leave and come back if you get tired of something. Like, as long as you keep your files and your audio data, you are going to definitely be able to return to it. Like, it's just do the thing. Just do the thing.
Yeah. Do the thing. And it's a learning experience, and you're going to have fun. And the bits that aren't fun, I don't know, pull one extra hour and pay someone else to do 5 minutes work. I don't know. I don't know how about paying people. Like, our editor just like, yep, I'm doing it all. This is my job now. I'm like, okay, great. And, you know, he doesn't get paid for that. Well, he does a little. I don't get paid for the work that I do with all of, like, the production stuff. And, like, our players don't get paid because we all just want to get better gear to record better stuff.
You know that meme where at the end the person's like, you guys are getting paid? I'm like, yeah. I don't get paid. I'm just doing it because I like it.
I'm doing it because it's fun. Like, I wouldn't put, like, I came back from a holiday like 4 weeks ago, and I think I've had 2 days off. I've just been doing production stuff, like catching up with like production stuff from over Christmas and when we had a temporary slowdown over Thanksgiving, launching new shows, getting all that stuff to good, like 3 weeks nonstop. I had like a day or two off, and that's kind of been it, really. And like, yeah, that's all work and time. And I wouldn't do that for free if I didn't think this story was worth telling, or the stories that we're telling are worth it. And I think they are. I think some people enjoy it, and I enjoy making it. So I'll write 200 marketing emails and reach out to people about joining them on podcasts for interviews.
Hey, and man, I would. So this is the part. Like, this is always the hardest part because, again, the conversation's so good, but we've definitely hit the end of it, and this is a hard limit because the editing process takes so long. So
3 times longer.
What I mean to say is, Belanda, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for chatting with me about random editing stuff and role playing.